So last week, if you remember, we kicked off our new series, if you can't tell, Walking with Jesus. And what we talked about last week was the fact that we were going to focus on the life of Jesus as presented in the Gospels. And we are also going to try to do our very best to present that in a chronological order. So Pastor Don introduced the series last week, and he began with Jesus' incarnation. He shared how Jesus was fully man and fully God. So when we think about that, sometimes that's hard because we have to remember that Jesus never gave up his God powers. He chose to veil them. He chose to veil his God powers temporarily, and he added humanity. Pastor Don last week used the example of putting on his suit jacket. Okay, he said Jesus chose to add humanity to his God powers. Okay, he just basically veiled those powers, and he chose not to use them for the time he was here on earth. So just thinking about that, sometimes it's hard, but what I want you to try to think about now is, how did Jesus, if he was growing as a human, just like us, how did he learn? How did he begin to understand the things that we learn as a human, okay? Because we said he learns just like us. And so for us to wrap our mind around that, sometimes it's hard to think of baby Jesus growing up just like we do. So for a moment, I want you just to think about your life, because Jesus was obviously impacted and influenced by many people in his life. So earlier, Gary had you talk at your tables, but at this time at your tables, I want you to be more specific and think about who actually influenced or impacted your life in a way that they shaped you for who you are today. So you see the kind of the specific area we're looking at. Who helped shape you for who you are today? So talk about that at your tables. I'll give you about 5 minutes. For me, when I had to think about that this week, there's a lot of people that came to mind, but the biggest impact in my life, and many of you already, some of you know this, not everybody, my dad is an electrical contractor. So from the time I was born until I was about 40, he was constantly building skills into me and helping me to learn the electrical trade. So for me, he made a huge impact on giving me skills that as I transitioned over to ministry, I could use those skills, not all of them, but some of them, here at the church as far as taking care of the building. Does that make sense? So think about your own life for a minute. Who built into you or shaped you for who you are today? So go ahead and talk about that. I'll give you about 5 minutes. All right, as we come back together here, anybody want to share who impacted you? Would anybody like to tell us? I shared. Any hands? No one? Oh, yes. Right, we don't complain near as much, do we? Awesome, good. And anybody else? Who impacted you? One more. Oh, yeah, Donita, I don't know. Sue. Good, cool. All right, so have you ever thought about how Jesus was prepared before his ministry before today? Has anybody ever really taken the time to think, who built into Jesus? Or I wonder, like, what did Jesus, because we're saying he has to learn just like we do. So yes, Jesus had to be potty trained. Yes. Yes, Jesus had to learn to put his sandals on the right feet. When I was thinking about that, parents here, how many times did we get somewhere and we look down and our kids' shoes are on the wrong feet? You know? For my wife, it was usually she had to look at me, then the kids, to make sure my feet. But we don't always just think about how did Jesus learn. So I really want to dig into that today and help you to understand that. Many times we don't even think about the mistakes we make are a learning process, true? Okay, so one of the things that I was trying to think of this week, like, what did I do to help my kids learn, or what didn't I do? And one of the stories that came to mind, and I was like, how did my kids not know this? But then I was thinking, I never showed them. So the very first time we took our kids on a Disney cruise ship, and I have a set of twins that they were probably 6 or 7, and on the Disney cruise ships, I don't know if all the other ones are like this, you're able to go and get soft serve ice cream whenever you want. You just run up to the machine, fill your cup, come back. So we're sitting at a table, my two little ones scamper off. They're gone for a little bit. They come back, all smiles, sit down with their cup. I'm like, that looks good. So I decided to get up, and the machine was just around the corner. I walk around the corner, and I'm looking, and I'm like, oh my gosh. There's a mountain. The machine was still, I don't know that it was still running, but it had been running for a long time. There was a massive pile in the tray that had fell off, running down the cupboard, and it's on the floor. Other people are looking, and I'm like, oh no. Now, my first thoughts was, this is not my kids. So I get back to the table. These are my exact words, so forgive me. Hopefully I don't offend you. I said to my wife, she's like, why didn't you get ice cream? And I'm like, some moron let the machine just sit there and run. And all of a sudden I hear, sorry, Dad. And I'm like, really? So point is, I assumed they knew if the lever stuck, because usually the lever pops back up, that they knew enough to push it up, but they didn't. So that's on me as a parent to don't assume that your kids just know everything, okay? So when we're talking about Jesus, we have to remember, just like I said, he grew just like we do. The difference is, Jesus was sinless. So his brain was unaffected by sin. His brain was not warped by sin. So when we look at him, we have to understand that he was able to learn at the greatest capacity that a 5-year-old could learn at 5, or a 10-year-old at 10. He didn't learn and have the capacity as a 5-year-old as a 30-year-old. Does that make sense? He knew he had the greatest capacity of what a 5-year-old could learn at 5. Okay, so like I said, his brain was not affected by sin. And then we have to think, all of us learn differently. So how many of you learn audibly just by listening? Show of hands, okay? How many of you learn visibly by watching someone do something or watching a video, right? How many of you learn by doing? Yep, that's what I am. I think I learned by doing. So what was Jesus? We don't know. He was probably a combination of all of the above, okay? Now think about, what are the opportunities that you have to build into a younger person? Do you take those opportunities? Do we sometimes, we get lazy and we're like, they'll figure it out. How can you help, or maybe you have already, how would you help a child prepare to be an adult? How would you help a friend prepare to be married? Or maybe how would you help a stranger learn about Jesus? So there's lots of opportunities out there for us to also help people to learn. So we have to not only learn ourselves, but be thinking, how can we help people to learn? So one of the biggest learning experiences I had as far as working with youth, and many of you here I know have worked with youth in the past, a lot of times you wonder at the time, am I making any difference? Like you feel like I'm pouring into this student or this young adult, and maybe you're not seeing the improvements that you think they should be making. Okay, God has a plan for them. We don't need to always try to figure out what's going on, but a lot of times maybe we get discouraged or we think, man, what am I doing wrong? I wanted to share a story. I shared this before. Some of you may already know it, but when I first started out in youth ministry, this was probably about 10 years ago, I had a mom call me, and I get with her on the phone, didn't know her. She tells me her name, and she's like, I heard that you could help my student. And I'm like, sure, with what? And I'm thinking, like, she wants me to talk to him about Jesus, right? And she's continuing on, telling me all his struggles, a lot of things that teens deal with. And then she says, I just want you to know that I don't want you to talk to him about Jesus, and I don't want to learn anything about Jesus. And I'm like, you just called the church? So it was hard because I didn't know where she was coming from. So she agreed to bring her student, and then eventually, within a few months, she started coming to church. Emily Mader, right over here, started working with her. And within a couple years, Mom, I know for sure, was saved within a couple years. And then it was probably a good 4 or 5 years before her son came and talked a couple of myself and another youth leader about who Jesus was, and he wasn't really sure what it meant to put his faith and trust in him. And so we talked to him about that night, and he asked Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. And then he graduated from high school probably 3-4 years ago now. But now he has been doing camp ministry. I know last year he was at Camp Mishawana. This year he's at a different camp. But as he goes there, he stops here, and he sits down and he starts talking about what the Lord is doing in his life. And he's like, thank you for building into me. And it's like, as a youth leader, you just never thought you were doing anything to help him. But then now, years later, it's like, wow. You know, God is doing amazing things in his life. His mom, I know, is working hard to try to get their other kids now to know Jesus personally. So it was quite a... Not only did I learn, but I felt like even though we were taking baby steps with them, we were helping them to learn. So I just want you to really be thinking about, you may never know, the things that you help someone with may change their life. Okay? You just never know. So don't be afraid to sit down and just listen to somebody or share with them your story. So today I want to... Our text that we're going to be looking at today is going to be Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 52. We're not going to look at all the verses in this section, but I'm going to just take a few that really help us to understand Jesus' childhood, his teen years, and his young adult life. There is not anywhere else in the Bible that talks just about Jesus' childhood. So this is the only thing we have. And when we look at it, sometimes we say, well, I want to know this or that. But the important thing to remember is not everything we want to know is in this section, but everything that God wants us to know is here. So we're going to look at two actions taken by Jesus to prepare him for ministry. And the first action is he obeyed. So the Gospels tell us a number of times that Jesus obeyed throughout his life. We're just going to focus on how Jesus learned during his formative years. So here are four areas of influence that shaped Jesus' life. The first area, his cultural setting. So if we look at verse 39, so we're in Luke chapter 2, verse 39. We look at verse 39, it says, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. So we know Jesus and his family returned to the city of Nazareth. Now, if we just did some studying, and what we know about Nazareth is that it was governed by Rome, but it was a Jewish community. So everything that went on in the community was based on Jewish culture. So for sure, we can count on the idea of a village raising a child was definitely happening here. Many adults were influencing, impacting Jesus or the children there for God. So godly values took center stage in a Jewish community. If you think of basically the DNA of that community were godly values. So we have to think about our own culture here today. What are we doing, if anything, to transform our culture? Sometimes we think, well, who am I? I can't make a huge difference in my culture. But sometimes the small things, just like thinking before we vote on putting someone on just a committee here in our village, or a thinking about when we vote for people we're putting on our school boards, or people we're putting on county boards, state boards, or people at national levels. Think about who best portrays those godly values that God has commanded us to obey. Okay, so try to always think and spend some time researching before you vote. So that's definitely one way we can transform our culture. The second way that Jesus was influenced, his religious upbringing. So if we look at verse 41, we're still in chapter 2 of Luke. It says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. So as a child, Jesus learned to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. He would have attended the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath and also during the week for schooling. And when we study Jewish education, what we've learned is all Jewish boys by the age of 5 or 6 begin attending school, okay? And what they would, one of the very first things they would do was begin to learn the Torah. So the Torah is our first 5 books of our Old Testament. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. First 5 books. So when they say they began to learn the Torah, first 5 books of our Old Testament, and then by the age of 10, almost every student had those 5 books memorized. So I don't know about you, I don't know if I could memorize the first 5 verses of the Bible anymore, but those kids, they were expected to have that memorized. Then the other way they were built into, so many of the parents spent tons of time, they didn't rely on just teachers. The parents would spend lots of time reading, studying, doing repetition with the kids to help them learn. And then by the age of 12 or 13, their elementary education was pretty much finished. And some of the boys would either get a mentor and continue on educating, or some of them at that point would begin learning a trade. So for us, we have to think about, are we as a grandparent or parent investing in our child's spiritual growth? And if you remember, just a few months ago, October, November, right here in our services, remember how we were memorizing scripture together? You guys could be doing that exact same thing with your little ones. You can help them to memorize scripture. It's a big deal. Doesn't mean that that's the only thing you do, but that could be make a huge difference in their life just by doing that. Thirdly, his relationship with God. So we're going to look at verse 49. Why were you searching for me? So this is Jesus asking this question. Why were you searching for me? He asked, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? So Jesus, as a young man, we would say 12-year-old at this point, he had a growing understanding that God was not only his Jewish God, but that God was his Father. See the difference there? So for us, we have to be thinking, do we realize, and are we even thinking about this when we're helping our children learn, are we just teaching them about God, or are we teaching them how to know God personally? So there's a huge difference there between knowing about God and knowing God. So we want to always be focused on and model this in our homes, that God is a personal God. He is our Father in heaven. So be thinking about that as you are building into those kids. Fourth way Jesus was influenced, his home life. So we're going to look at verse 51. Then he went down to Nazareth with them. We're talking about Jesus again. And he was obedient to them, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. So in a Jewish home, like I said earlier, they took on the responsibility, both mom and dad took on the responsibility of educating their children. Dad had the main role, but they did not just expect that the kids were going to only learn at the synagogue or only learn during their schooling. The parents took on the majority of the educating their children. They used various ordinary activities, everyday things that they did. They took those and used them to help their kids understand God's truths. One of the big things, remember how I said earlier, they had to memorize the Torah. So when parents were now teaching their kids, they would have definitely had Deuteronomy chapter 6 on their mind. And I wanted to read through specifically verses 6 and 7 here and have you think about what the parents were specifically thinking of, okay? So Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And I'm reading from the NIV also. So it says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." So basically, God is saying, teach these commands over and over and over again, no matter what you are doing. So then, as we think about, okay, so they are, as a Jewish family, they are trying very hard to build into these kids 24/7. Education, instruction, training, and discipline were huge in their homes. If you just think about how much time we have with our kids. I looked this up, and every study's a little bit different, but basically it said from the age of birth until 12, a child is awake 60,000 hours. Okay, so from 0 to 12, they're awake 60,000 hours. They're saying during that time, about 6,000 of those hours they're at school, about 2,500 of those hours they are attending church service, youth group, Sunday school, something of that nature. So right there we have about 8,500 hours that they're busy out of those 60,000 awake hours. So if I did my math right, that's about 51,500 hours. We'll round it to 50,000 to make it easy. So we have 50,000 hours left. Now I know many of us, our kids are in sports, band, theater, all the different things they can be in. But when we think about that time, we have 50,000 hours that we should be doing something and teaching our kids from the age of 0 to 12. That it sounds like a lot right off the bat, right? But in reality, it goes really fast But we still have to be very intentional about what we're doing with them during that time. So we have to think to ourselves, what am I modeling to my kids during those 50,000 hours? Because that is basically shaping them for who they are as they become a teenager. Make sense? So be thinking about your time. Then, who taught you what it means to be obedient? So here we've been talking about the people that influenced Jesus. Who taught you what it meant to be obedient? I can tell you a number of times when I was a kid growing up, I would tell my parents my version of what happened, and then my dad many times would look at me and he would be like, "Do you think I was born yesterday?" And of course, I'm like, "I hope so." But he and my mother, both my sisters can, well, one of my sisters is back there, they can tell you that both of my parents not only made sure that we were obedient, but that we understood there were consequences to our disobedience. So when we're looking at Jesus' life, it says he had to learn to obey. When we build into kids, we want them to learn to obey, and then we want them to understand not only is there consequences to mom and dad, but there are consequences to God when we are disobedient to what he is asking us to do. So we have to make sure that as parents, when we're building into kids, that we help them to understand that. So that's a huge, huge point that they have to remember. Okay, the second action. I said we were going to look at two actions of how Jesus was influenced in his life. The first we said he obeyed. The second action is he grew. And what we're going to do, we're still in Luke chapter 2, verse 40 and 52. I want to read through those real quick, and then I'm going to explain to you what they mean. So it says, "And the child," so we're talking about Jesus, "and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him." Verse 52. "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So both of those seem very similar, correct? So what we have to remember, and I'm going to just show you very simply, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but basically verse 40, if we were to look at a timeline, verse 40 is summing up Jesus' life from his early childhood. We know a lot from other verses about his birth and everything there. We're not talking about that. We're talking about his childhood, beginning with verse 21 earlier today. From verse 21 up till, we'll say, this is verse 42, the table. This is when Jesus visited the temple, and we know how old he was, which was what? 12. So we know he was 12 here. Verse 40 is basically summing up this time period, okay? First 12 years. And what does it say? It says, "And," this is verse 40, "and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace was of God was on him." So that's basically summing up first 12 years. Then verse 52, it's basically summing up. We know he was here at 12. We don't know hardly nothing from this point on until Jesus was 30 when he began his ministry. There's 18 years there that God does not share anything with us except verse 52. And it says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God." So from the time of his early childhood until he was 30, what was Jesus doing? Yeah, that's what those verses are telling us. Okay? He was growing. He was learning. He became wise. Okay? He grew in stature. He grew in favor with God and man. So the entire time, he was continually growing. So we have to think about our own life and the people we are building into. Are we continually growing? So let's look at four areas of growth specific to Jesus' life. First way he grew was intellectually. Jesus continued to learn not just knowledge, but practical application. His dad, Joseph, what was his dad's trade? Okay? So back then it wasn't just with wood, because back then they built with stone and bricks. And so Jesus learned how to practically apply all the skills he was learning. Okay? So intellectually, he increased in his capability and judgment to use the knowledge he learned in his daily life. Okay? As his understanding of Scripture increased, so did his ability to live out God's will for his life. Second way he grew, physically. So like I just said, Jesus' dad, Joseph, built into him the trade of being a construction worker. So Jesus would have got stronger. Okay, I doubt that, just like any of us, if we lifted a brick every day for 365 days, we get stronger, I hope. So Jesus grew physically. And just like us, he would have got sore muscles, scrapes, bruises, but he chose to continue for those. Bible never tells us that he never stopped being a carpenter up until his ministry started. So we are assuming that that's what he kept doing for those 18 years. So that whole time he's growing stronger and taking care of himself. So we have to think of our own life. If we're not taking care of ourselves physically, and we can't get out and be able to help people, work with people, okay? Now, sometimes we will have something in life that holds us back, but for the most part, we have to do our best to take care of ourselves, okay? Third thing, Jesus grew spiritually. So we know he was studying the Torah. We know he was attending synagogue. We know he was doing schooling. He was working with mentors as he progressed. One of the ways we can grow spiritually this year, I think it was just last week, Pastor Don mentioned the fact that we now have the 2025 Bible reading plan out. So you could use that if you wanted to just study or get in the Bible with a younger person. Another way is through the mentoring program. Many of you are already involved in that. If somebody here is not involved with that, ask myself, Lisa's in the back. I don't think Leslie's in here today. Any of us, if you wanted to, you could maybe, I don't know if you'd want to email or text Pastor Don just to bug him in South Africa, ask him about our Bible reading plan, but generally just ask one of us three and we can help you get connected in that. The fourth way Jesus grew, socially. So we know he interacted with all types of people. Jesus genuinely cared about people. So we have to think about our own life. Just last year, what did we talk about all year long? Okay, if we genuinely care about people and want to get to know them, it's as simple as getting up from one table here and walking over and saying, "Hi, my name is Ryan," to Aaron. "Oh, sorry, I didn't know you. What's your name?" So it's that simple, is just make the initiative to get to know people, to love on them. In closing, I just want to look at verse 40 and 52 again, if we can have that come up. So Luke chapter 2, verse 40 and 52. So when we look at Jesus' life, this is what we said. He summed up what we know of his childhood. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So if we ask ourselves the question, what did Jesus do to prepare for his ministry? And we said two things. Jesus obeyed, and Jesus grew in a healthy manner. So what we want to do is to be able to take those two things and look at our own life and say, how am I obeying in the areas that I know God had asked me to do something? And then the second way is, how am I growing? So what I would challenge you to do is just pick one of the two. Really pray through and think about, and maybe even ask others that are working with you, being a mentor or such, to say, okay, I'm struggling with my obedience. How do I grow in that area, okay? You can just spend a lot of time, like I said, praying about that. Secondly, if you want to grow, we have many things here at the church we can help you grow. Grace U classes, mentoring are two of the main ones. Home groups are another way that can really help you grow. So please, please be looking at those two. Make sense? Two things. How can I obey? How can I grow? Let me pray, and then we will move on in our service. Thank you, Lord, for the words that you gave us today. Help us to go out of here and really think about how we can obey and how we can grow. Please show us what you would have us to do in these areas, Lord. And I just thank you for who you are and tell you, Lord, that we love you and we want to do our very best to please you. So just thank you for what you're doing in and through us. Amen.